We interrupt this program to bring you...
OT, OT.
It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. No, it's too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting.
Back on overtime here, hour number two of the program, coming at you live tonight. About to get into the big weekend recruiting update with Cole McCormick here. And as always, the recruiting update on overtime is brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Cole, I know it was an interesting one with a very, in the metaphorical and the literal sense, big prospect on campus. And a little update concerning him, this big-time offensive lineman here. Cole's going to tell you all about here. Cole talk.
Thank you, Tanner. Okay, we will start with the big man. As Tanner alluded to, we talked about him, I believe Friday, possibly Thursday, but we've talked about him recently. We've talked about him for a few days now. But Paris Johnson Jr., the big man out of Cincinnati, Ohio at St. Xavier High School. He was on campus over the weekend. He's a current Ohio State Buckeye commit, the number one offensive tackle in the 2020 class, number one player in the state of Ohio, fourth overall player nationally, according to 247 Sports composite rankings. And, of course, being ranked so high, he is, of course, a five-star guy. Offensive tackle, as I said, 6'7 and a half, 295 pounds. So a absolute unit as a current junior in high school. That is so hard to believe, but he was on campus over the weekend. Seemed to really love Tennessee. That's what it seems to be here recently. All these big name guys that come on campus seem to really love their time in Knoxville. And why wouldn't you? Brian Niedermeyer seems to be his lead recruiter. Seems like everybody that comes in contact with Moose just absolutely loves him and loves coming to campus. So I would have expect nothing less from Mr. Johnson, but yes, he was here over the weekend. He also went down to Athens to visit the Bulldogs and Kirby Smart while he was kind of in the area, so he was down there as well. And Tanner, I told you during one of the breaks in hour one, it's rumored that he will be at Tennessee and Georgia's spring games. They're a week apart, but an interesting note, Tennessee and Ohio State, their spring games are the exact same day. So if he comes to Knox before the spring game and does not go to Columbus and watches the Buckeyes, even though he is a Buckeye commit, it could start to get interesting. So that will be something to watch. There are also two other big-time prospects on campus with Paris Johnson Jr. Jaheim Thomas was also on campus over the weekend. He is also from Cincinnati, Ohio, but plays at a different high school. He's from he plays at Princeton High School. He is a outside linebacker in the 2020 class, four-star guy according to 247 Sports composite rankings, 21st outside linebacker in the 2020 class, fourth best player in the state of Ohio. Current crystal ball predictions, since he is an Ohio native, of course they will be 100% to the Buckeyes. They love to lock down that state. Other offers for Mr. Thomas: Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Bowling Green, and Cincinnati. So another big-time guy was on campus over the weekend. And then another big-time guy on campus over the weekend with them, another Cincinnati, Ohio native, and also at Princeton High School, Darian Henry. He was on campus as well. He's a defensive end in the 2020 class, 6'6", 260 pounds. 247 Sports composite rankings has him very highly ranked. A four-star guy, third overall defensive end in the 2020 class, number two player in the state of Ohio, and 41st player nationally. And then, of course, an Ohio native, Ohio State Buckeye favorite. And then other offers, of course, from all the big-name schools you want, Michigan, Ohio State, of course, Penn State, Cincinnati, Clemson, to go along with the Tennessee offer. Next, Tennessee has offered Destin Paison. He tweets, "Firstly, I would like to thank the man above, blessed to have earned my first offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag Go Vols. Mr. Payson is out of New Orleans, Louisiana at Edna Carr High School. He's 6 foot, 170 pounds. He is in the 2021 class. Not a whole lot of information on him. Let's see. He does play. Let's see if I can find this on the fly real quick. I believe he plays offense. Just by looking at his stats, those are offensive stats. Doesn't have a Rivals account or page, excuse me. Doesn't have a 247 page. So thank you to Max Preps for giving me this info. But he has been given a Tennessee offer. Have to wait and see what he does and where he decides to go since he is a few years out. But he has been given a Tennessee offer. And then the last one for tonight, which I just found before we came on for hour two, Bernard Wright has Tennessee in his top 11. Mr. Wright tweeted, let's see, it was early, almost 6:30, so just about 30 minutes ago. He tweeted out his top 11. He says, I would not be here, or hashtag AGTG. I don't know who that is, but he says, I would not be here without him. Thankful for every opportunity and position he has put me in. All glory to God. That's what it means. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Time for me to focus on my future. I will be focusing on these 11 universities for now. My top 11. And yes, of course, since we're mentioning him, Tennessee makes the top 11. Along with the Vols are TCU, Alabama, Clemson, Grambling State, Arkansas, excuse me, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, Baylor, and SMU.
I feel like Grambling State's the odd one out right there.
Them and SMU. Yeah. Everybody else I can kind of see.
The SMU's at least a FBS school.
Well, he's also from Dallas, so it makes sense. Awesome. It makes sense. But Mr. Wright, as I said, he is from Dallas, Texas at Carter High School. He's a defensive tackle in the 2020 class, 6'3", 300 pounds. Let's see here. 247 Sports Composite Rankings has him as a four-star prospect in the 2020 class, 17th best defensive tackle in the class, 23rd best player out of the state of Texas. Currently, right now, he's a favorite to go to LSU, sitting at 100% crystal ball predictions to the Tigers. Offers all the ones that I mentioned in his top class, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Baylor, Clemson, then, of course, Tennessee and many others. So Tennessee making a top 11 list for a big defensive tackle in the 2020 class. And that will conclude this Monday edition of the Recruiting Update. Thank you, Tanner.
Thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
Man. Paris Jackson.
Johnson. It's like a
Wow.
Yeah. It's
is
okay.
Is it Paris Jackson the name of Michael Jackson's kid?
Jackson, I don't know.
Johnson,
maybe.
Excuse me. Maybe. Paris Johnson. Yeah. Ugh, sorry if that's the case.
Hey, we have plenty of time to learn his name.
But like Humphrey Bogart said in Casablanca, we'll always have Paris.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, thank you for that update once again, Cole. And as always, the recruiting update on Overtime is brought to you by Knoxville's Stone Interiors, your go-to countertop renovation source, bathroom and kitchen as well. Oh, if I can quit trying to hiccup here.
You okay?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to make it through this live read here. They've been helping thousands of households across East Tennessee for over a decade now. They got three generations of experience in the natural stone countertop industry on their friendly staff. Granite, quartz, marble, and more, whatever the surface, they have got your solution. And most of their countertop installations take less than a day. You only got a couple of weeks, but you still got time left. You only have a couple of weeks to take advantage of the KSI moving sale before they take all other stuff and put it over at the brand new beautiful location on Kingston Pike, 5902 Kingston Pike in Bearden, right across from the Food City at the bottom of Bearden Hill. It's going to be fantastic over there. We've been telling you about all the new stuff that's going to be at the new location, including an event center. It's going to be a test kitchen as well. All sorts of new exciting things coming over to Knoxville Stone Interiors, but they cannot take still hundreds of countertop remnants and single slabs with them. You can go over to the current location at 3900 Millbrook Pike and Pick you up one that's good for whatever project you have in your house. If you want to freshen up the look of a small kitchen island, a bathroom, sink, outdoor kitchen, fireplace around, etc., you can still take advantage of the remnants that they cannot take with them. You can save up to 50% off. You will save 25% off, excuse me, if you just buy one. Just buy any one. And including the installation, you save 25% off. If you do the measuring and installation of the product yourself, you will save half off. Yes, half off. Big savings opportunity in the moving sale at Knoxville Stone Interiors. Call them at 865-971-5800 to get a free in-home estimate. They are online at knoxstoneinteriors.com. And the showroom is open from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and convenient Saturday hours from 9 to 2. Knoxville Stone Interiors, 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. Ended a little early there with the recruiting segment, Cole. So,
yeah,
let's stay on the bracket talk.
Okay.
But did you see the big hiccup? The big, big hiccup that this ESPN employee made today?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
About 3 hours early, it's over on ESPNU, The entire women's bracket was leaked.
Yeah.
It just started appearing on the screen.
Yeah.
Like how they have the men's bracket now on the side of the screen on the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
It just popped up.
Ugh.
That was not supposed to be unveiled until 7 o'clock tonight.
Oof.
So ESPN had to change their entire plans and just unveil the whole thing officially at 5.
Yeah, that guy's gone. Or girl. Whoever
Ooh.
It was. Say ya.
Poor production assistant. Ooh, on the street.
Poor ESPN intern, man. Bless them.
If it's an intern, it's a little more like understandable. Not excusable, but understandable.
Sure.
If it's a full-time employee, ew, yikes.
Ish. Ish. Yeah, that's a big no-no.
Entire women's field is unveiled. But hey, you know why that's relevant news right now, Cole?
Why?
Because, yes, for the 38th year in a row, the Tennessee Lady Vols, in fact, have made the NCAA tournament. Holly got him in the field, Cole.
Let's go.
What a coaching job by Holly Warlick.
Let's go.
One of the goats to ever do it, man. How does she keep doing it?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't.
God, has this bought her another year? Is she going to be on the bench another year just mediocre-ing her way through the season? Oh, you know that's a word, but I just invented it.
Yeah, I think this was enough. I think it was. I do. I think it was enough. I think it was.
That's sad, man.
I think it was enough for Fulmer to justify to himself to just keep her.
Or enough for Fulmer to not have to care.
Or to not deal with it. I mean,
I don't think he really cares that much.
Well, of course he doesn't.
It's
care.
Football first for him.
Of course. He said it multiple times.
It's football first for him. He knows the other big time revenue sports, men's basketball. That's clearly in good hands.
Don't need to touch that.
So,
yeah,
he just focuses on football right now.
Yeah. So,
Oof.
No, he doesn't care. I mean, if they didn't make the tournament, maybe he should have, or maybe he would have taken some kind of action. But no, I mean, even though she's not doing well, I mean, she made the NCAA tournament. She won one game in the SEC tournament.
And that was enough.
I think right now, at least for right now, yeah, that's enough for Phil. Even though the fans can't take it and they know that, you know, this is the Lady Vols. This is something that Pat built from nothing to the prominent ladies program in the country. And now you look where it is. And in my humble opinion, it wouldn't take a lot to get us back to the top. It just wouldn't. It wouldn't take a lot.
The Lady Vols get in the tournament as an 11 seed.
Oh. Pat is rolling.
I don't need to look up the historical, you know, precedent here. I'm going to assume that's the lowest seeded they've ever been.
Yeah.
11 seed. Lady Vols play Saturday in the Albany region. They will be playing against UCLA.
Okay.
At the 6 seed.
Okay.
I'm not going to pretend to know a damn thing about UCLA basketball.
Yeah.
Women's
yeah,
basketball. But I would think Holly could win at least the first round, right? Right?
You
maybe.
Would hope.
Possibly, maybe.
You'd hope.
I don't know. I'm
trying to look him up right now.
If you beat UCLA, your 3-14 matchup that you would have to play the winner of in round two is between 3-seed Maryland and 14-seed Radford. Let's just say, Cole,
okay,
because this gets very interesting here very quickly. Let's say Holly does the damn thing. let's say she gets to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Which should be a pretty big deal as an 11 seed, even though it's the Lady Vols. It's this year's Lady Vols.
Yeah.
Let's say you beat UCLA, and let's say you upset 3-seed Maryland. Cole?
Huh.
In the Sweet 16, in case there's a huge, huge upset, Cole, the Lady Vols would play UConn!
Oh, no.
Who is the 2-seed?
Ah!
Oh! Yikes! Gee whiz! How about that, too, by the way? UConn, not a 1-seed in the women's tournament for the first time since 2007.
That is something.
They've been a 1-seed every year under Geno since then.
That is something.
Louisville's the 1-seed in the Albany region.
UConn all the way down. You heard it here first. Woo! You heard it here first.
Holly against Geno. Mama mia.
Real quick, looking at UCLA women's basketball schedule and overall record, they were 20-12 on the season. 0.625 percentage.
There you
go. 12-6 in conference, 0.667% win percentage in conference. Then you go to the Lady Vols.
0.666. Very close.
You go to the Lady Vols. 19-12 overall. So UCLA only won one more game. Lady Vols 0.613 percentage. But you look at the conference record, that's where it hurts. 7-9 in conference for the Lady Vols. 0.438 percentage. But if you know, honestly, if you want to feel good about Tennessee's chances against UCLA, UCLA women's basketball on neutral floors this year, they were 1-4. Tennessee 3-1. So Lady Vols is much better on a neutral floor than UCLA. So maybe Holly can get past the first week, first game at least. But still.
11 seed.
Yeah.
11 seed. Oh.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Saved your job, man.
She did.
I mean, Fulmer really can't fire her after a tournament appearance. She'd have to resign.
I mean, if there was any place to fire somebody because they were an 11 seed, it would be here. I mean, it would be here, UConn. I mean, now you look at it, maybe Notre Dame and Baylor, maybe a few more. But Tennessee is one of those schools. You're an 11 seed? You're done. But, Phil, I just think.
It ain't going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I think he has enough to justify keeping her.
Probably gives her one more year, I would assume.
Yeah, maybe.
Unless she
pulls the same crap again next year.
Not riding off in the sunset on her Harley just yet, folks.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Hit a break here, 865-546-8200. If you want to hop on the Fan Run phone lines here, been talking a lot about Tennessee's draw in the NCAA tournament. Talked a lot to start the show about Tennessee's abysmal championship Sunday performance against Auburn. And as you just heard it, they unveiled the women's bracket very, very early. Somebody's getting fired, and it won't be Holly Warlick.
Unfortunately.
Because the Lady Vols, 38 years in a row, making the NCAA tournament. Continue with more of Overtime on the way here. Keep it right here on Fan Run Radio.
Traveling in a Friday combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies.
Back here on the program. It's been flying by tonight, Cole.
It really has.
Me and you just tag-teaming it here, you know, doing what we do best because, let's just face it, I think everybody else who is usually on this program is on spring break.
Yeah.
Rick Butler's in St. Louis?
Yeah, which I was very jealous of.
Or was in St. Louis for a while?
He at least was yesterday.
Julia's on a cruise to Bahamas?
Yes. Daniel, I don't know.
Or is Brackman in the Bahamas?
I know Brackman is. I forgot where she is. It's somewhere in the Caribbean.
She's definitely on a cruise.
Yeah, it's in the Caribbean.
Brackman's in another country.
He's in the Bahamas.
Who else helps us on the show?
Intern Ben.
Ben. I think
he went to Miami, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He went to Miami. That's about it.
I know AJ Cook's still around town.
Sure, yeah.
We'll probably get him to do one show this week.
Usual suspects, man. Traveling the country.
Man, it sucks to, you know, not be on a vacation to another country or the ocean.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard being the glue that holds the program together.
We have to be here and be company men.
That's true. That's true. It's a burden we bear. And
hate
I'm,
to see it.
You know, I'll bear it with pride.
Good on you, buddy.
Thanks.
Good on you, buddy, here. Go back and still, I mean, we're just talking about the tournament all day today. I mean, why not? Everybody's filling out their brackets here except you, Cole. You have not filled yours out
yet. Not yet. No, not yet.
How do you do your bracket formula? Well, first of all, let me ask you this question. How many do you do?
I usually just do one.
You're one bracket?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this year I might do more than one just because I've been following college basketball more this season than I probably ever have growing up. I don't know if I believe I've said it before, but I'll say it again, mm-hmm. maybe for the first time. I've never been the biggest basketball fan. I just didn't really pay attention to it. You know, I kind of did there back in the Bruce Pearl days when we had Lofton and company, and you know, we were beating number one Memphis down in their home floor. I was mm-hmm. watching then. I was paying attention. And then when all that stuff went up in smoke with him, you know, I went away from it a little bit. And then, you know, the whole Donnie Tindall fiasco and then the whole Quanzo Martin tenure, whatever you want to call it here, I just didn't really pay attention all that much. And then even the beginning of the Rick Barnes era, not great.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. But, you know, since the boys have stepped it up, since we're doing good, yeah, I've been paying a little more attention. I mean, I always pay attention in a way just because it is Tennessee and I follow my UT athletics. But basketball was never a huge priority for me. Never mm-hmm. was. But this year is the first year in a long time I've been watching basketball. I feel like I've been watching basketball every night for, you know, since whenever it started, November, December, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been watching not just UT game, but a college basketball game probably four nights out of the week. So I've been following it closer than ever, so I might make more than one.
I'm usually a two-bracket guy, and I do the strategy of I'll fill out one just random clicking.
Sure.
Well, not entirely random. I mean, I'm not going to be just an absolute idiot with stuff, but I don't really think about a lot of the picks.
Yeah.
I'm not picking a 16-1 this year. I think last year was a complete outlier. It's extremely unlikely to happen again this season. So I picked the ones to win first round. And then I'm just clicking away, and I already did that bracket. And my second bracket will usually be one I think a little harder about.
Sure.
But my quick click pick bracket.
There you go.
Filled that out earlier today. I got Duke winning the title, though.
Yeah, that's safe.
My Final Four is kind of it's something. Let me pull it up here, because I got Duke in the championship game. I think I already told you who they're taking down, right?
I don't know.
Man, I got Duke taking down Purdue in the national championship game.
Ooh,
yes.
Wow. Wow.
I told you it has to be random. It has to be random.
Okay.
Let me look at my Final Four here. Okay, Duke over Purdue in the national title game. So in the semifinals, I got Duke taking down Michigan, which could very well happen. Michigan's
sure.
a two.
Sure.
Other side of the bracket, though, semifinal, Purdue beating Auburn.
Ooh.
Wouldn't
interesting.
Just make us more mad.
Is that your Final Four?
Bruce, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Bruce gets Auburn to
Auburn
the Final
Auburn and Purdue
four.
In the Final Four. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I told you I didn't think a lot about this one.
Obviously.
And you can tell. You know what? Usually the ones you don't think about do better in your groups.
They just
do better.
Yeah.
Because usually when you overanalyze and overthink a matchup and you think, oh, this is certainly the logical outcome of this game right here,
yeah.
and then the game actually happens and it gets flipped upside down on its head.
Yeah, that's a good point.
NCAA tournament is a cruel mistress.
Yeah, it is.
So you can't really think too much into it.
Yeah.
But I will do one later that has more logical picks. And no, I can already tell you that neither Purdue or Auburn will be in the Final Four in that one.
Sure.
I just had to be crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, when do the brackets have to be in? By Thursday?
By the time the first game tips off on Thursday, so you're looking at right after noon.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to do mine here soon. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's going to be tough. You know, growing up, of course, I always picked UT to go far. But even though we have a great team this year, probably, you know, arguably probably the best team we've had in history, definitely one of the top three teams in mm-hmm. Tennessee basketball history. I still don't know if they're going to get over that hump, but, I mean, anything could happen. I just don't know how far I'm going to have them going this year. I haven't really looked at their road. I've looked at the first couple games they could possibly play. I know we'd probably have to go through, obviously, Colgate for sure. And more than likely Cincinnati and then probably Purdue after that. But after that, you know, I'd have to look. I don't know. I'd have to look. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun watching, especially knowing that that my team has a legit shot of going pretty far this year. So I'm looking forward to it.
You want to see some of my upsets I picked?
Sure.
And I hate to be that bracket guy, but
no.
I think it's good to look at some of these first round matchups, as the committee usually does. There's a lot here that are just primed for upset viability here. I did not pick Mississippi State to lose to Liberty in that 5-12.
Okay.
I just think Mississippi State's gonna. They're good enough to get to the second round.
They're a very good team.
I tell you, a really popular one. It's one I went with. I went with Murray State over Marquette, the 12 over the 5.
Really?
And thank the committee for putting that in the first round. You get to see in the first round Marcus Howard of Marquette go head-to-head with John Morant of Murray State.
That, yeah.
Fantastic game that is on tap here. Marquette's been slipping up recently.
Yeah, they have.
They've lost a good majority of their last few games. Murray State wins the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament with a very dramatic game over Belmont, who, by the way, shout to the committee as well, putting Belmont in the tournament.
Yeah.
Even if it's
good for them.
Even if it's just the first four.
Still, play their way
Rick in. Rick Bird's boys deserve to be in this field. Yeah, but I got Murray State doing it.
Okay.
I think that'll be a fantastic type of matchup.
No, that's a good pick.
I got Northeastern over Kansas, the 13-4. This seems a game that Bill Self will lose.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Kansas
has gotten upset several times before under Bill Self. And I think this Kansas team, just what they've been through this season, Northeastern's a team who's beaten Alabama this year.
Yeah.
I think Northeastern kind of bomb in the rear, I think.
No, I mean, happen. Yeah, that's a good point. Kansas, they have been looking very beatable since, you know, their big – or not their big man. Their point guard went down.
Well, Azubuike, since he went down too, they haven't been the same without him too.
Yeah.
But missing LeGerald Vick as well, that's your consistent deep threat as
sure.
well.
Sure, yeah.
I don't see Kansas going far at all in this tournament.
Yeah, I really don't either.
A slight upset I picked Florida over Nevada, the 10-7.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Nevada gets in this tournament as an at-large. They don't even win their conference tournament.
Okay.
I don't know. I think Florida's been playing just good enough basketball to get past this first round.
They have caught fire as of late, yeah.
I have Buffalo beating Texas Tech in the second round, 6-3.
Okay.
Texas Tech losing to West Virginia didn't really give me any faith in them.
No, not me either.
Didn't give me a lot of faith at all. Another one here in your second round. I got the first one seed going down here, Syracuse over Gonzaga.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't believe in this Gonzaga team anymore.
I don't either. I mean, you can't even win your own conference. St. Mary's beat you the way they did, which, I mean, St. Mary's isn't a terrible team.
And I do have St. Mary's beating Villanova, so.
Oh, my goodness, wow.
I don't know.
But, yeah, Gonzaga, man, I don't think they're that good. I mean, I just think they look good because of the conference they're in. They don't play anybody.
They really don't.
I mean, you look at who they've played this year, the big-name teams.
Haven't won. Haven't played a real team since they went to Chapel Hill and played North Carolina.
Yeah.
Haven't won a game against a really, really, you know, named team since they beat Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, Washington, who couldn't even win the crappy Pac-12 tournament.
I mean, I understand why everybody loves them and everybody wants to give them so much praise and wants to give them one seed, but, I mean, there's all this talk about, oh, look at the body of work and who they beat and blah, blah, blah. Gonzaga hadn't beat anybody.
No, they haven't.
They haven't beat anybody, but every year they're up in the 1-2 seed spot. Every year. They need to join the Pac-12. They really do.
Granted, in some years, Mark Few has had a very – I mean, he's still got a lot of talent on the team. Rui Hachimura is going to be a first-round NBA draft pick.
Yeah, of course.
And he had the team that went to the national title game and lost North Carolina. He's got teams that's made to beat these bigger conference teams. I don't know if this year's the one, though.
And while I don't think so.
While I crapped on the Pac-12 talking about Washington, I did have Pac-12 champion Oregon to upset Wisconsin in the 12-5 matchup.
Hmm.
And also had Oregon then again beating Kansas State to make it to the Sweet 16.
Oh, wow.
Because that random 11-12 seed always makes it at least to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I just picked Oregon this time. In my last notable first-round upset, I got the pride of the Ivy League, baby. The Yale Bulldogs taking down known cheating scumbags, LSU.
Let's go.
Without old Will Waste. And after LSU whoops that ass, they're going to fire Will Wade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burn it down. LSU pays for their players. You know what? Yale's players don't even earn athletic scholarships. They don't give out traditional athletic scholarships. You got to actually be smart to go to Yale.
These are just your average doctors and lawyers and engineers that are just kicking people's tail.
Playing hoops.
Yeah.
Playing some hoops out there, yeah, man.
I love it. Big fan of Yale basketball. Always have been. Go Bulldogs.
I'm so excited for a tournament to start.
Yeah.
Thursday's going to be fantastic out there at Elkmont Exchange.
It will be. It'll be fun.
Oh, cannot wait. We will be live there.
Yeah.
I think we're only doing an hour show. But we will be live, though.
Is it going to be you?
Try to get AJ.
That's okay.
I'm going to try to get AJ. Yeah. Probably have you out here. Sorry. Yeah. You can join us later.
No, that's all right.
865-546-8200. We got birthdays on the other side. Don't want to miss it. Stick with us here. You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Cole, apparently you're not putting enough respect on Gonzaga's name.
Okay.
DC Coltrane tweets in at me and says, tell your boy Gonzaga beat Duke this season.
Who else did they beat? Did they win their conference?
Well, regular season.
Okay, did they get blown up by St. Mary's and Vegas?
Yeah, they did.
Did they get killed?
I haven't forgotten the fact they're one of the teams to beat Duke, and they looked very good for the majority of that game before Duke tried to storm back and made that really close.
Yeah.
But it's a what have you done for me lately type of society.
Yeah.
And like I told you, they haven't played any type of major conference team since they went to Chapel Hill and got blown out.
Yeah.
And they haven't beat a major conference team since they beat Washington.
I mean, look.
So they got a really good win. No one's disputing that.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're not a great team. They don't have great players. I mean, what they've done over however long Few's been up there, it's honestly, it's incredible.
Since 1999.
It's incredible. I mean, the consistency he's had at such a small school, a no-name school, really, except for basketball, it's incredible. But, you know, you look at their body of work overall, and to me, it doesn't scream one seed. It just doesn't.
We could have took that from them, Cole.
We should have, but we didn't.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right, without further ado, let's get into birthdays. We got a good amount to get into. I didn't even count it because you're not playing against anybody, Cole. But pretty good names. Pretty good names. St. Patrick's Day was a really good day.
Okay.
And today is hit or miss. You got like a lot of A-listers and you got some C-listers all up and down this.
Okay.
So let's get started with St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
Did you enjoy your St. Patrick's Day, by the way? Did you even do anything?
No, it was miserable.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
That was a dumb question. Okay, how about Saturday? Because a lot of people celebrate Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday I had a great day.
Did you do a pub crawl?
No. I watched the Kentucky game, and I celebrated accordingly.
There you go. Enough said. St. Patrick's Day birthdays, though. He turned 55 yesterday. He's an American actor. He is. He's known for his roles on TV shows such as The West Wing. Let me look at the other show. Just so I don't get it wrong. I do believe he's also on Parks and Rec.
55.
So he's known for
the Nick Offerman?
No, he's known for The West Wing and Parks and Rec. He's also been a lot of stuff. He has been in the CBS medical drama Code Black. He's been in some, let's see. He really started in like the 80s as a big, it's like an up-and-coming like younger movie star. Movies such as The Outsiders, The Hotel New Hampshire, Oxford Blues, St. Elmo's Fire, About Last Night, and Square Dance.
I'm trying to think who else is in Parks and Rec.
He's also been in commercials for DirecTV a few years ago. He had like the regular version of himself with DirecTV, and he had the cable version of himself.
Rob Lowe.
It is Rob Lowe. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I forgot he was in Parks and Rec.
Yep. 55 years old, the handsome Rob Lowe.
He looks good for 55.
Very handsome man.
Very good for 55.
He turned 29 yesterday. He is an Irish musician.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. He only goes by like this one name.
Okay.
Let me get his. Here we go. Like I said, he's an Irish musician. He's really a one-hit wonder. Take Me to Church.
Oh, man, I can't think of that guy's name.
You don't know it? It starts with an H. That's the only hint I'm going to give you.
Starts with an... He's only a one-named guy?
Yes.
Take Me to Church.
5 seconds.
Hozier?
You got it. Hozier. Yes. Hozier. Andrew Hozier Byrne. That's okay. His full name.
Hozier, yeah.
Yeah, only 29. He looks a lot older than 29. 47 yesterday, American women's soccer legend, multi-time World Cup winner in the 90s. She played college soccer at North Carolina, by the way.
In the 90s.
But like I said, she was like the face of U.S. women's soccer for almost 20 years. Been a lot of like Gatorade ads for a lot of other stuff.
Mia Hamm?
It's Mia Hamm.
Mia Hamm.
You know, Mia Hamm was born in Selma, Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
A Bammer by birth.
Ugh.
Oh, here's an A-lister right here. 68 years old yesterday. American actor. He's been a mainstay of American cinema for years and years and years. He has been in films such as Overboard, Tombstone, Stargate, Death Proof, The Hateful Eight, and recently Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and as well as Furious 7 and The Fate of the Furious.
Kurt Russell.
It is Kurt Russell. Yes.
Yeah.
And also known for playing Antarctic helicopter pilot R.J. McCready in The Thing in 1982.
He was in...
Terrifying movie.
Let's see. Which one was that? He was in Fast 8?
Furious 7.
7. Okay, yeah, 7. Okay.
Yes.
He was that like weird guy. I could never get a handle on what that
love
guy
Kurt
was.
Love Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I do too.
Love Kurt Russell. 38 years old yesterday. Former NBA player. So he played his college basketball. Oh my God, he's not former. My bad. He's still playing. He plays for the Jazz. I thought he retired. Wow. Played his college basketball at Creighton. He's a three-point specialist. He has played on teams such as the 76ers, the Jazz, the Bulls, the Hawks, the Cavs, and he's back on the Jazz.
Kyle Korver?
It is Kyle Korver. Still playing.
Journeyman.
Had no clue he was still playing. Did you know he finally became an NBA All-Star in 2015?
Was that his first
That's
time?
That's his first and only one.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's finished up yesterday. We got two more. He would have been 100 yesterday.
Ooh.
Would have been 100. Classic American musician. Let's see. He was a jazz pianist and vocalist. He recorded over 100 songs and became hits on the pop charts. Passed away in 1965. Wow, didn't know it was that young. He was also the first African-American man to host an American television series. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know some of his like contemporary like pop hits, but I do know he is the artist of the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire.
Nat King Cole.
It is Nat King Cole, yeah.
Nat King Cole.
You got it. You got
it. That's who I was named after.
Really?
No.
Well, that's cool either way. Last birthday for St. Patrick's Day, he turned 64. Another American actor. He is known for film and TV roles. He is he's known for playing George Milton in Of Mice and Men. He was Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump.
Oh, Gary Sinise? Sinise?
Sinise, but Sinise? You got it close. It's Sinise.
Sinise?
Yeah, okay. You got it close enough. And he has been playing in he's been playing Detective Mac Taylor in CSI New York.
Hmm.
Or he did play Mac Taylor for 9 years.
Hmm.
Love me some Gary Sinise. Love me Lieutenant Dan.
I do too.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
But you ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Stupid is a stupid does, sir.
Today's birthdays. We've got five for today. Let's get through these here so we can have time to actually talk sports coming back here.
Sure.
He turned 40 today. American pop star, also a judge on a reality TV series. He just took off his shirt at the Super Bowl.
Adam Levine.
It's Adam Levine of Maroon 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam.
What a tool.
He is. Yeah.
49 years old today. She is an American rapper and actress, really known recently for being more of an actress.
Okay.
But she had her start as a rapper in the 90s. I will tell you her movies here in just a second. Okay.
Ooh.
Well, she had her own talk show from 2013, 2015. I didn't know that. Movies. Bringing Down the House. Taxi. Barbershop 2, Back in Business. and the barbershop spin-off Beauty Shop. Last Holiday, Hairspray, Joyful Noise, 22 Jump Street.
Queen Latifah?
It is Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Born Dana Elaine Owens. Wow, I don't know how she got Queen Latifah out of Dana Elaine Owens, but she did. And when Cole puts down the phone, we will finish up birthdays here. I'll tell you this. We got a couple C-listers and a former president left.
Oh, okay.
So let's run through these real quick. 47 years old today, American comedian, actor, really popular stand-up comedian in the 2000s, but really kind of fell off. He was really known for, he got some criticism for stealing people's jokes. But he had his own Comedy Central stand-up specials. I believe he sold out Madison Square Garden.
Dane Cook?
It's Dane Cook.
You like Dane Cook?
Not really.
Really?
No, not really. Didn't even like him when he was popular.
Really?
Yeah, just didn't.
Okay.
Not my cup of tea. Here's the big C-lister. See if you get this one. 41 years old today, retired NBA player. He was known as the White Mamba.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that was
a thing.
He was really known for being a meme. He was really a bench warmer.
White Mamba.
I will tell you, he played NBA basketball for the Nets, the Celtics, and the Bulls. Won a championship with the Celtics.
How old is he?
He's 41. He's a ginger.
Oh, Scalabrine?
Brian Scalabrine!
Yes! Scalabrine!
The White Mamba! Ooh. You want to look up his NBA stats real quick?
Sure.
Regular season career stats. Here we go. Averaged a whopping 3.1 points per game. 2 blocks per game. I'm sorry, 0.2 blocks per game. Wow. That would have been impressive. Golly. He averaged 2.
Wow.
0.2 blocks per game, 0.3 steals, 0.8 assists, and a whole 2 rebounds per game throughout his career.
Good. Scalabrine, man.
Off the bench, the White Mamba.
Too bad his birthday wasn't on St. Patrick's Day.
That would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He's a giant leprechaun.
He is.
Last up, he would have been 182. Former president, he is the only 2-time president. The 22nd and the 24th.
Is that the notable thing he did?
Yes.
That's it? He didn't do anything while in office?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. It says here he was the leader of the pro-business Bourbon Democrats who opposed high tariffs, free silver, inflation, imperialism, and subsidies to businesses, farmers, or veterans.
That doesn't help. I don't know. Presidents. It's not FDR.
I will tell you his terms were from 1885 to 1889. His second term, 1893 to 1897.
Okay.
There's a major city that has the same name in the Midwest. I don't know if it's named after him, though. Come on, Cole. We got to hurry.
Major city.
Really? You don't know the only 2-time president, non-consecutive terms?
Grover Cleveland?
It's Grover Cleveland. You got it.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Grover Cleveland. And with that, we got to take our last break here. Final segment on the other side, 865-546-8200. Last call, and we will wrap up Overtime Strong on this Monday on the other side. Ending overtime on this Monday here, 865-546-8200. Let's go to the Fan Run phone lines. End this Monday, excuse me, with the call from Roger. Roger, buddy, welcome in.
Hey, man. How you doing, man? How you doing?
Buddy, I'm trying to recover from yesterday. I think today's been another therapeutic process. I think I'm getting over it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to ask you a question, Tanner. I just wanted to ask you about it, see if you know, because I can't tell or not. The game is that I've heard that the ball and he get out coached by Pearl. How's that happening? You think he get out coached by Pearl? You think? I heard that true. Take it true. There you go.
I will say, man, it's hard to disagree with the fact that one team looked a lot more ready to win a championship Sunday than the other. And, man, it's especially true in these last two seasons. It seems like for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just something Bruce Pearl and his team see on film, if it's some type of mental edge, something like that. Yeah. Just recently, man, he has had Rick Barnes' number, and that's not to say Rick Barnes is a bad coach. Tennessee is still built for a team that could absolutely go to the Final Four, Raj. And there's a high probability of that happening, I think. But for whatever reason this season, it's Auburn, man. Some teams just have your number. It's one of those things. Auburn has your number this season, but at the same time, you play a top five team in Kentucky three times, and you win two out of them. It's one of those things, man.
He's a smart coach. There, like, you would think that he could at Coach Pearl, but how do you out coach Pearl? You know, if you think, Hannah?
Roger, thanks for a phone call, but up against it, but a lot of that Sunday, it's what we said. That Kentucky game should have been the championship game.
Yeah.
It had the atmosphere. It had the intensity. It had all the storylines of what should have been the Sunday championship game. Yeah. The worst thing for that Tennessee team was to play Kentucky in the semifinals.
Yeah, it was.
And had to turn around less than a day later and play a team that was going to be – even though, here's the thing, you can't use a tiredness thing as an excuse because Auburn was playing one more game in one more day than you.
Yeah.
They're on their fourth game in 4 days. You can't use a tiredness excuse, but even despite that, man, you do know that Auburn's still going to jack up a bunch of three-pointers, and that's exactly what they did. They shot 40 of them. I don't even know the Houston Rockets take that many every night.
Yeah.
They shot 40 of them, even when they weren't hitting early. You know why Bruce gives them the green light every time? Because as long as you're playing defense and forcing turnovers, you can afford to do that because they'll eventually start going in.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's exactly what they did. Tennessee, with the senior leadership that they have, just the leadership period, even from non-seniors like Bone and Grant, that should not have happened the way it did.
Yeah.
But they just emotionally spent themselves.
They did. They did. And also, Auburn just seemed like they just wanted it more. They had
Grant
the
Williams
want.
Said the same thing.
They had the want and the desire more than Tennessee did. You could see it on the floor. See it in the play. They just wanted it more. They did.
And that shouldn't happen.
No.
It really shouldn't happen. But Bruce is a master at getting his teams to do that.
He is.
Think about how many giants he slayed while he was here at Tennessee.
Yeah.
He's just doing the same at Auburn. That's going to do it tonight for us here on Overtime. For Cole McCormick, I'm Tanner Carson. Won't be on air tomorrow, I don't think, but we will definitely be back Wednesday. Oh, by the way, shout out to Britt Tussie. She wanted me to give her a shout out. There you go. She can stop complaining about to me. And that's going to do it tonight for us here on the show. Back sometime again this week here. Y'all have a good one.